This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Green. In just a few minutes, President Obama will announce his first nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court. The choice is already known. It's Federal Appeals Court Judge Sonia Sotomayor.
And we're going to hear now, as we wait for the president's announcement, from a person who served with Judge Sotomayor on the Second Circuit Court of the Court of Appeals, the Federal Appeals Court. Judge Guido Calabresi is on the line. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you.
Some people will be wondering the very simple question, what kind of a judge is she?
She's a wonderful judge, but I want to go back before that because I taught her in her first year in law school. She was in my torts class, and I went back and found my notes from that, from her exam, graded anonymously, and it was a terrific exam.
She got an A?
The law school does not give grades in first term. But I marked it as one of the top exams in a very tough class, so it was nice. She was a Princeton Soma and was terrific then and has been terrific ever since.
Well, let me ask, because years later you ended up on the same Court of Appeals with her. What did you think she had learned in the intervening years?
She learned a lot about life in the law. She is a very fact, case-driven person. She does not decide cases on the basis of high or fancy theory, though she's smart enough to do any of that, but she just decides a case before her on the basis of what makes sense in that case.
Okay, let me ask about that, because I think that some people, particularly on the left or the right, are going to listen closely to those words, and they're going to be asking, does that mean that she decides a case on the situation more than, say, what the Constitution says?
Oh, no. She is... The law is what sets the parameters. She decides the case on the law, but she looks to what is actually going on in the individual case. That's often true of people who were district judges before going on a court of appeals. And that's something that's been missing on the Supreme Court. People who actually saw real cases with real people in terms of the law.
Judge Calabresi,
the law always guides us.
Judge Calabresi, as we wait for the president's announcement, I want to ask about one other thing, and that is that any Supreme Court justice, of course, is one of nine, and any ruling or majority that's put together is often a negotiation, and so your personality, your style, can be significant. And I'm reading this article by Jeffrey Rosen of the New Republic, who quotes anonymously a couple of courts who had served around the Judge Sotomayor. One was not complimentary and said she's kind of a bully, not that bright.
Let me speak to that directly.
Okay.
First, she has changed my mind any number of times. I hope I've changed her mind because she's strong and good. When she first came on, said some things like that, I kept track. Her way of dealing with other people is exactly the same as male judges do.
Hmm.
The fact that she is a woman and does that meant that some people thought, women shouldn't act that way. She is a totally fair, good negotiator, good talker with other people, but she's no different from anybody else.
And to be fair to Jeffrey Rosen's article, we'll say that another former clerk or person who clerked around her said that she had similar qualities but was very tough and self-confident. Judge Calabresi, thanks very much.
Thank you. Good luck.
Judge Guido Calabresi.
And we're waiting right now for the president's announcement. We're actually looking at a very crowded room at the White House. It appears that the president is coming up, and we should be hearing from him very shortly. We're joined right now by NPR's legal affairs correspondent, Nina Totenberg. And very briefly, Nina, what's your reaction?
Well, let's wait there because the president has stepped to the podium with a smiling Sonia Sotomayor. Let's bring it up.
Thank you. Well, I'm excited, too. Of the many responsibilities granted to a president by our Constitution, few are more serious or more consequential than selecting a Supreme Court justice. The members of our highest court are granted life tenure, often serving long after the presidents who appointed them. And they are charged with the vital task of applying principles put to paper more than 20 centuries ago to some of the most difficult questions of our time. So I don't take this decision lightly. I've made it only after deep reflection and careful deliberation. While there are many qualities that I admire in judges across the spectrum of judicial philosophy, and that I seek in my own nominee, there are few that stand out that I just want to mention. First and foremost is a rigorous intellect, a mastery of the law, an ability to hone in on the key issues and provide clear answers to complex legal questions. Second is a recognition of the limits of the judicial role, an understanding that a judge's job is to interpret, not make law, to approach decisions without any particular ideology or agenda, but rather a commitment to impartial justice, a respect for precedent, and a determination to faithfully apply the law to the facts at hand. Now, these two qualities are essential, I believe, for anyone who would sit on our nation's highest court. And yet, these qualities alone are insufficient. We need something more. For as Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "The life of the law has not been logic, it has been experience." Experience being tested by obstacles and barriers, by hardship and misfortune. Experience insisting, persisting, and ultimately overcoming those barriers. It is experience that can give a person a common touch and a sense of compassion, an understanding of how the world works and how ordinary people live. And that is why it is a necessary ingredient in the kind of justice we need on the Supreme Court. Now, the process of reviewing and selecting a successor to Justice Souter has been rigorous and comprehensive, not least because of the standard that Justice Souter himself has set with his formidable intellect and fair-mindedness and decency. I've sought the advice of members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, including every member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. My team has reached out to constitutional scholars, advocacy organizations, and bar associations representing an array of interests and opinions. And I want to thank members of my staff and administration who have worked so hard and given so much of their time as part of this effort. After completing this exhaustive process, I have decided to nominate an inspiring woman who I believe will make a great justice, Judge Sonia Sotomayor of the great state of New York.
You're listening to live coverage on Morning Edition of President Obama's Supreme Court choice.
Over a distinguished career that spans three decades, Judge Sotomayor has worked at almost every level of our judicial system, providing her with a depth of experience and a breadth of perspective that will be invaluable as a Supreme Court justice. It's a measure of her qualities and her qualifications that Judge Sotomayor was nominated to the U.S. District Court by a Republican president, George H.W. Bush, and promoted to the Federal Court of Appeals by a Democrat, Bill Clinton. Walking in the door, she would bring more experience on the bench and more varied experience on the bench than anyone currently serving on the United States Supreme Court had when they were appointed. Judge Sotomayor is a distinguished graduate of two of America's leading universities. She's been a big city prosecutor and a corporate litigator. She spent 6 years as a
President Obama here on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Replace Justice Souter as the only justice with experience as a trial judge, a perspective that would enrich the judgments of the court. For the past 11 years, she has been a judge on the Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit of New York, one of the most demanding circuits in the country. There, she has handed down decisions on a range of constitutional and legal questions that are notable for their careful reasoning, earning the respect of colleagues on the bench, the admiration of many lawyers who argue cases in her court, and the adoration of her clerks, who look to her as a mentor. During her tenure on the district court, she presided over roughly 450 cases. One case in particular involved a matter of enormous concern to many Americans, including me, the baseball strike of 1994-95. In a decision that reportedly took her just 15 minutes to announce, a swiftness much appreciated by baseball fans everywhere, she issued an injunction that helped end the strike. Some say that Judge Sotomayor saved baseball.
President Obama is standing next to Sotomayor, who sometimes smiles, sometimes looks almost overcome.
Sotomayor came to the district court from a law firm where she was a partner focused on complex commercial litigation, gaining insight into the workings of a global economy. Before that, she was a prosecutor in the Manhattan DA's office, serving under the legendary Robert Morgenthau, an early mentor of Sonia's who still sings her praises today. There, Sonia learned what crime can do to a family and a community and what it takes to fight it. It's a career that has given her not only a sweeping overview of the American judicial system, but a practical understanding of how the law works in the everyday lives of the American people. But as impressive and meaningful as Judge Sotomayor's sterling credentials in the law is her own extraordinary journey. Born in the South Bronx, she was raised in a housing project not far from Yankee Stadium, making her a lifelong Yankees fan. I hope this will not disqualify her in the eyes of the New Englanders in the Senate. Sonia's parents came to New York from Puerto Rico during Second World War. Her mother is part of the Women's Army Corps. And in fact, her mother's here today, and I'd like us all to acknowledge Sonia's mom. Sonia's mom been a little choked up. But Sonia's mother began a family tradition of giving back to this country. Sonia's father was a factory worker with a third grade education who didn't speak English. But like Sonia's mother, he had a willingness to work hard, a strong sense of family, and a belief in the American dream. When Sonia was 9, her father passed away, and her mother worked 6 days a week as a nurse to provide for Sonia and her brother, who's also here today, as a doctor, and a terrific success in his own right. But Sonia's mom bought the only set of encyclopedias in the neighborhood, sent her children to a Catholic school called Cardinal Spellman, out of a belief that with a good education here in America, all things are possible. With the support of family, friends, and teachers, Sonia earned scholarships to Princeton, where she graduated at the top of her class, and Yale Law School, where she was an editor of the Yale Law Journal, stepping onto the path that led her here today. Along the way, she's faced down barriers, overcome the odds, and lived out the American dream that brought her parents here so long ago. And even as she has accomplished so much in her life, she has never forgotten where she began, never lost touch with the community that supported her. What Sonia will bring to the court, then, is not only the knowledge and experience acquired over a course of a brilliant legal career, but the wisdom accumulated from an inspiring life's journey. It's my understanding that Judge Sotomayor's interest in the law was sparked as a young girl by reading the Nancy Drew series, and that when she was diagnosed with diabetes at the age of 8, she was informed that people with diabetes can't grow up to be police officers or private investigators like Nancy Drew. In essence, she was told she'd have to scale back her dreams. Well, Sonia, what you've shown in your life is that it doesn't matter where you come from, what you look like, or what challenges life throws your way, no dream is beyond reach in the United States of America. And when Sonia Sotomayor ascends those marble steps to assume her seat on the highest court of the land, America will have taken another important step towards realizing the ideal that is etched above its entrance: equal justice under the law. I hope the Senate acts in a bipartisan fashion, as it has in confirming Judge Sotomayor twice before, and as swiftly as possible, so that she can take her seat on the court in September and participate in deliberations as the court chooses which cases it will hear this coming year. And with that, I'd like all of you to give a warm greeting as I invite Judge Sotomayor to say a few words.
Just as moving or as emotional as some of the president's complimentary words was the way that Judge Sotomayor beamed as the president spoke about her family, particularly her parents. And now she will have an opportunity. She gets a kiss on the cheek from the president, and now she steps to the lectern to speak to this crowd at the White House this morning.
I was just counseled not to be nervous. That's almost impossible. Thank you, Mr. President, for the most humbling honor of my life. You have nominated me to serve on the country's highest court, and I am deeply moved. I could not, in the few minutes I have today, mention the names of the many friends and family who have guided and supported me throughout my life and who have been instrumental in helping me realize my dreams. I see many of those faces in this room. Each of you, whom I love deeply, will know that my heart today is bursting with gratitude for all you have done for me. The president has said to you that I bring my family. In the audience is my brother, Juan Sotomayor. He's a physician in Syracuse, New York. My sister-in-law, Tracy. My niece, Kylie. She looks like me. My twin nephews, Connor and Corey. I stand on the shoulders of countless people. Yet, there is one extraordinary person who is my life aspiration. That person is my mother, Selena Sotomayor. My mother has devoted her life to my brother and me. And as the president mentioned, she worked often two jobs to help support us after Dad died. I have often said that I am all I am because of her, and I am only half the woman she is. Sitting next to her is Omar Lopez, my mom's husband, and a man whom I have grown to adore. I thank you for all that you have given me and continue to give me. I love you.
This is Judge Sonia Sotomayor, nominee to the Supreme Court today.
I chose to be a lawyer and ultimately a judge because I find endless challenge in the complexities of the law. I firmly believe in the rule of law as the foundation for all of our basic rights. For as long as I can remember, I have been inspired by the achievement of our founding fathers. They set forth principles that have endured for more than two centuries. Those principles are as meaningful and relevant in each generation as the generation before. It would be a profound privilege for me to play a role in applying those principles to the questions and controversies we face today. Although I grew up in very modest and challenging circumstances, I consider my life to be immeasurably rich. I was raised in a Bronx public housing project, but studied at two of the nation's finest universities. I did work as an assistant district attorney, prosecuting violent crimes that devastate our communities, But then I joined a private law firm and worked with international corporations doing business in the United States. I have had the privilege of serving as a federal district court trial judge and am now serving as a federal appellate circuit court judge. This wealth of experiences, personal and professional, have helped me appreciate the variety of perspectives that present themselves in every case that I hear. It has helped me to understand, respect, and respond to the concerns and arguments of all litigants who appear before me, as well as to the views of my colleagues on the bench. I strive never to forget the real-world consequences of my decisions on individuals, businesses, and government. It is a daunting feeling to be here. 11 years ago, during my confirmation process for appointment to the Second Circuit, I was given a private tour of the White House. It was an overwhelming experience for a kid from the South Bronx. Yet, never in my wildest childhood imaginings did I ever envision that moment, let alone did I ever dream that I would live this moment. Mr. President, I greatly appreciate the honor you are giving me. And I look forward to working with the Senate in the confirmation process. I hope that as the Senate and American people learn more about me, they will see that I am an ordinary person who has been blessed with extraordinary opportunities and experiences. Today is one of those experiences. Thank you again, sir.
That's President Obama's nominee to the United States Supreme Court, Appellate Judge Sonia Sotomayor. President Obama stood beside her and has now joined the applause as she finishes. Vice President Joe Biden also on the red carpet behind the lectern there at the White House, where a crowd has been applauding her today. The president said that he wanted a judge who would apply a rigorous intellect and as well as interpret, not make law. But then he went on to quote Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, talking about how the life of law has not been logic, it has been experience. And he went on to talk primarily about Judge Sotomayor's personal life, her past, her family life, and Judge Sotomayor did more of the same. And let's analyze this now, beginning with NPR's legal affairs correspondent, Nina Totenberg, who has seen many nominees come and go. Nina, good morning.
Good morning.
What did you think of what you just heard?
Well, it was a good performance, and we've not seen any bad performances generally when you trot out a nominee. But this is a nominee who really does have an enormous wealth of experience. She's been a litigator, she's been a prosecutor, she's been a trial judge, she's been on the Court of Appeals for more than a decade. And it was kind of interesting to watch, and she has this incredible personal story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to watch her. There were, I have to say, no airs. You know, she was not dressed fancy at all.
Mm-hmm.
She could have passed. She was wearing a plain black suit with a yellow top. If you'd walked into an office, you could have thought that she was the judge or the secretary. But she was eloquent about where she's been and where she's come to. Where she's going right now is going to be probably a somewhat tough confirmation process. But her story, that personal story, the fact that she would be the first Hispanic on the court, I think is going to make it very tough for Republicans to oppose her, even though conservative groups have ginned up opposition to whomever the president was going to nominate. All the names we've seen on the list, those of us who cover this get constant emails about what's wrong with them, how mm-hmm. they're extremists, activists.
Even before they're nominated.
Even before they're nominated. But let's take, for example, Senator Kyle, the number two person on the Republican side, who is the only Republican so far to have openly floated the idea of a filibuster.
John Kyle of Arizona.
John Kyle of Arizona. And he comes from a state with a lot of Hispanic voters.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine him opposing this nominee.
And I suppose that would be one of two reasons that if you are the president and his communications team and this nominee, you emphasize at this moment the personal story. Part of it is that it's very powerful, and part of it is you certainly don't want to be talking about legal niceties up there at this moment.
No, you don't. Now, she's got a huge legal record, but I've been reading summaries. I can't tell you I've read all of the opinions. I've been reading summaries of a lot of the opinions, and they are not extraordinary. They are not lightning rod opinions. The most controversial opinion that I know of that she participated in was the New Haven firefighters case, in which she was part of a three-person panel. She didn't write the opinion.
This was about affirmative action?
This was about a test given in New Haven in which white firefighters did better and won promotions. And the city then wanted to withdraw the test and have a redo because they said it was a test with an inherent bias. And the white firefighters said it was a perfectly good professional test, fair and square, and this is reverse discrimination.
Nina Totenberg, stay with us because I want to bring another voice into the conversation. NPR's David Wellner covers Congress, and he's been watching today's announcement. And David, we just heard a moment ago Nina say that people have been gearing up to oppose this nominee, whoever he or she might have been. How tough is the fight expected to be now that the name is out?
Well, I think we can have a certain amount of pushback expected from Republicans in Congress. Republicans on the committee included, in fact, the top three Republicans on this committee, Senator Kyle, whom Nina mentioned, Jeff Sessions, who's the ranking member, and Chuck Grassley, all voted against Sonia Sotomayor in 1998 when President Clinton nominated her for the appeals court. So there's a record there. Orrin Hatch, who is also on the committee, voted for that nomination. But I think that we can expect a pushback. And as Nina said, this is a tricky situation for Republicans because, after all, she is the first Latina nominated to the Supreme Court. Republicans did very poorly with Hispanics in the country in November. And in some ways, I think that the nomination really shores up President Obama's credibility with Latinos in the United States, and it sort of seals the deal. And they will be hard put to go after her on her her social affinities, I think. I think it'll be more a question of going after decisions that she's made and picking them apart. They do not want to do this before September. That's another fight that we're going to see coming up here.
We are listening to NPR's David Wellner on this day of the nomination of Judge Sonia Sotomayor.
And David, on the timing of this, can we just ask you very briefly, Mr. Obama wants Senate confirmation before the August recess. Is that likely? Is it possible?
Well, I think that we could possibly have confirmation hearings before the August recess. I'm not sure. But as I said, Republicans would much rather have this be considered in September. That would still give this nominee time to get onto the court by the time the session begins in October. What Democrats don't want is this nomination sort of hanging out there for 5 or 6 weeks, subject to all kinds of scrutiny and second guessing. They want to hurry up this process. I think that's one reason why we got the announcement from President Obama today. He also chose to announce at a time when members of Congress are all scattered to the winds because Congress is not in session this week. I don't think that's a coincidence.
David, very briefly, I just want to bring in our colleague, NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley. And Scott, we have just a little bit of time here. Can you tell us what the scene was like at the White House? It looked like Judge Sotomayor was sort of breaking up a little bit. We just have a few seconds here.
Well, it was an emotional scene. I saw a few tears in the audience as well. The judge's mother came into the East Room here at the White House a few minutes before the judge herself and the president, and she got a standing ovation. And obviously, it's going to be a part of the White House sales job to present Judge Sotomayor, not only a brilliant scholar and someone with legal experience, but also someone with a very warm human story to tell.
It sounds like you're in a very busy place. We actually have more time than we thought. White House correspondent Scott Horsley, what did you pick out of the president's speech that you feel is important and might be a preview of how the White House is going to manage this confirmation battle?
Well, as I say, they're highlighting both Judge Sotomayor's level of experience. She's been on the federal bench for 17 years, first named by a Republican, the first President Bush, and then promoted to the appeals court by a Democrat, President Clinton. So someone with bipartisan experience, also experience as a prosecutor and in corporate law, as you heard the president say, more experience than any sitting member of the Supreme Court had when he or she came on the bench. So on the one hand, they're saying she's got a tremendous amount of experience, of course, graduated at the top of her class at Princeton and Yale Law School, those kinds of credentials. But equally important, and this is something the president has said from the day he walked into the press room to announce Justice Souter's impending retirement, was that he was going to be looking for someone who understood the law not as a series of footnotes in a legal text, but as something with real consequences for people's lives. And so that was something that he stressed today in talking about Judge Sotomayor, someone who, as far as she has come, has never forgotten where she came from, has never forgotten the crime victims she represented as a prosecutor, has never forgotten the neighbors that she grew up with in the Bronx, and as someone who would understand the consequences of legal decisions for those people. And that was a message that the judge herself echoed as well.
Well, let's just pause on that for 1 second, because when you talk about footnotes, I mean, Republicans say that the law is not just footnotes. It is the fundamental important thing to understand for a potential nominee. And the president said that, you know, beyond traditional qualifications, he wants something more. And I think that something more is what you were talking about, this life experience. What is the White House doing to get ready for battle, to be able to go up against Republicans and say that empathy, as President Obama has said, and these other qualifications, life experience, are of enormous value?
Well, again, they're going to be pointing out that she's been confirmed twice, that she was first nominated by a Republican, and although her confirmation when she was named to the appellate bench was far from unanimous, there was bipartisan support. There were Republicans who voted in her in favor of her confirmation. So they're going to be championing her as someone who has a track record and one that's won bipartisan support in the past. I was interested, too, in a case that the AP was drawing attention to today, where the judge was in the dissent, a case of the victims of the TWA crash off the shores in the Atlantic. The question was how far offshore they were, and the decision was that they were close enough to justify a larger settlement for the family members. And in her dissent, Judge Sotomayor argued that, no, although that was an understandable thing to be trying to give those family members a larger settlement, the law was very clear, and then that the crash had taken place outside those waters. So this was a case where, you know, she really was arguing for the letter of the law over some sort of empathetic or more generous settlement for the victims.
NPR's Scott Horsley is at the White House, where President Obama has just introduced his Supreme Court nominee. And if you missed the announcement a few moments ago, her name is Judge Sonia Sotomayor. And there was much talk, as we heard, in that announcement of her personal story. In fact, Judge Sotomayor, the nominee, when she got a chance to speak, she introduced her brother, her sister-in-law, her niece, her nephews, her mother. Her father, of course, died when she was 9 years old. There was much emphasis on the personal story, but now this becomes a political story. NPR's David Wellna, who covers the Congress, is still with us. And David, do you have any early reaction from the Republicans who, if anybody would oppose this nomination in great numbers, would be them?
I do, Steve. Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, who is a member of the Judiciary Committee, has put a statement on Judge Sotomayor's nomination. And he says that, you know, Congress has to work its will and do its fair review of this nomination. But he also makes it clear that he is not going to be won over easily. He says, it is my hope that the process will allow her to prove herself to possess the impartiality, integrity, legal expertise, and judicial temperament that we have come to expect from those that sit on our highest court. And he points out that this would be a lifetime appointment. He adds she must prove her commitment to impartially deciding cases based on the law rather than based on her own personal politics, feelings, and preferences. And I'm sure this is going to be something we're going to be hearing again and again over the coming weeks.
And in just a few seconds, let's remember the mechanics here. This goes to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Assuming they approve it, it goes to the full Senate. And while there will be some Republicans who are skeptical, including the one you just heard, the question is whether Republicans are skeptical enough to mount a filibuster and if they have the power to sustain it.
The question would be whether they could keep Democrats from getting 60 votes to block any attempt at a filibuster. And right now, that seems to be a very tough thing for Republicans to do, given the numbers.
David, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
That's NPR's congressional correspondent, David Wellna.
We're now joined by Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy, who's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee and will be running the confirmation hearings for Judge Sotomayor. Senator, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And as I understand it, you're in Kabul, Afghanistan right now. Tell us what you're doing there and how you got word of the nomination today.
Well, I was visiting our troops here. President Obama called me to notify me that he was going to be making the announcement in a few hours and at that time and to talk about it. I think he's making a very good choice. She has a distinguished background. She certainly has a wonderful life story, born to a Puerto Rican family, growing up in public housing projects, or everything that she did to work her way through law school. And she actually would be coming to the Supreme Court with more judicial experience than any justice for the last 100 years.
Well, tell me how much conversation there was between you and the White House leading up to this announcement. Were you expecting this name? Did you get a chance to offer some advice and feedback, or was this a pretty close process?
Well, I've talked to the president about a number of names. He first called me the day of the day the news came out about David Souter leaving. In fact, reached me in my car. I was on my way to Vermont. We talked about a number of aspects then. I urged him to talk with both the Republican and Democratic leadership, and to his credit, he sat down with all of us, and we went over some of the qualifications. I gave him a list of different names I had. I told him that I would hope there'd be somebody with some real-life experience, not just in the judicial monastery. I certainly felt that with 9 justices, having only one woman on the Supreme Court did not reflect America, and he seemed to agree. I was not surprised at the choice. This is a woman who has been nominated by both President George H.W. Bush and President Clinton for a judgeship.
Well, Senator, could I just ask you about the real-life experience you talked about? The president has said that he was looking for someone who has empathy, who has sort of real-life experience, and those are terms that that some Republicans, colleagues of yours, haven't reacted well to so far. What's going to be your message to them to deal with this opposition?
We have some, unfortunately, in the other party who are going to oppose anybody the president comes up with. And we've already got some of the special interest groups on the far right who are sending out fundraising letters.
But they've made a very specific argument here, saying that dealing with, you know, a justice, those sorts of things, empathy shouldn't be considerations.
Empathy is in the eye of the beholder. Somebody's had some real-life experience. Here's a person who was a very tough and effective prosecutor, and as a former prosecutor, I like that. She was co-counsel in the so-called Tarzan murderer case. She's been a corporate litigator. She's been a prosecutor. These are real life.
How soon for hearing?
These are real life experiences. too often we have people who think of life in total abstract. I think a prosecutor especially gets to see life in the good parts and also in the very tough part.
Senator Patrick Leahy, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he's joining us very generously on the line from Kabul, Afghanistan. Senator, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's just recap the news from this morning. President Obama at the White House announced his nomination of Sonia Sotomayor to the U.S. Supreme Court. She would become the first Hispanic to serve on the High Court if she is confirmed.